live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
There's a new play coming to the Corpus Playroom at the end of this month. It's called Nothing Great Is Easy, and it's the story of the first channel swimmer. And I'm really pleased that writer and performer Chris Hudson and director Rosina Piovani join me today. Hello to you both.
Hi.
Hello.
So, Chris, if I can start with you, what got you interested in this story in the first place, and what made you decide to turn it into a play?
Well, I was actually looking for a show to do as a one-person play, and I think this was possibly an overreaction to having directed a big cast Shakespeare play for 3 years in a row. So after trying to organise 20-odd people who were going on holiday at different times, had different availability, and trying to work out things like rehearsal schedules, I thought it would be wonderful to just have me to worry about. And then potentially it could go to different venues and it would be very portable. And I thought it would also be a great challenge because I've never done a one-man show before. So that was what got me interested in the idea of a one-person show. And I came upon Captain Webb's story as one of my Amazon recommendations. So I'm a really keen outdoor swimmer. I go year-round, probably a few times a week at least. So I was reading as many books as I could about wild swimming, and the story of Captain Webb came up in one of my recommendations. So I read the blurb and thought, that sounds really fascinating. Got the book, read it, and I thought, that's my one-man show, because it's kind of a labour of love, you know, mixing my two favourite pursuits outside work of the acting and the swimming. And it's such a fantastic, crazy story as well. There was just so much in there that I found really dramatic and interesting, and that I hope the audiences will find the same too.
So what year was this first channel swim?
1875.
So before that, no one had even thought about doing anything like that?
There had been one attempt by a swimmer called J.B. Johnson, but he only lasted, I think, a little over an hour before he had to get on his boat and sail the rest of the way to Calais. I mean, that was actually what gave Webb the idea of doing it. Nobody had got close. In fact, there had been another person who had crossed the channel, but it was in a waterproof rubber suit and a paddle, which was intended to be used as a kind of safety device, you know, to prevent people from drowning. So this chap called Paul Boyton, who became Webb's main rival, oddly, it wasn't another swimmer, but it was this chap who paddled across the channel in this rubber suit. He did that to try and publicise this suit. And it never really caught on. I think when you see the photos, you realise why. It looks ridiculous. But yeah, nobody had got close to swimming the channel when Webb did it. So it really was, you know, an awesome feat at the time, particularly given how little was known at the time about sports nutrition. I think, you know, when Webb actually had his successful swim, his breakfast that morning was bacon, eggs and claret.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, and I think just the fact that the next channel swim wasn't until the 20th century just shows how incredible it was at the time. It took about 30 more years for the next successful crossing after Webb had popularised the idea, really, by being the first person to do it.
That just shows what an achievement it was, doesn't it? So you wrote this play and then you thought, oh, great, I'll perform this. So how did you get Rosina involved? Because Rosina, you're the director, aren't you? How did you become involved in this?
Why? Why am I doing this now? So Chris and I have worked together in the past. We've never been the members of the cast together, but we directed each other or worked behind the scenes together in the same play, but not being members of the cast. But I had directed him in Waiting for Godot, and then he directed me in several other plays. And then he came for dinner once with his fiance. We were having dinner in my house and he said, well, I wrote this play and how do you feel about directing it? And I said, yes, before reading it. So it's going to be great. And then he explained me a little bit about what was it about and what was the idea. And I really found it very challenging for me as a director as well, because it's a one-man show. It's a one-hour play. He's speaking for 1 hour nonstop. So the idea of making it very dynamic, very entertaining, and really captivating the audience. It was a real challenge for me to be able to do that. And I think we've achieved something really enjoyable, if I may say.
That's brilliant. Of course, you've got to keep the audience attention for all that time, haven't you? There's still different moods within the hour-long piece.
Yeah,
definitely. I think there's the build-up to the Channel Swim itself, and there's some amusing anecdotes along the way, like the time when he swam against a dog. That was his first swimming opponent. That was really funny. And then you get the actual exhilaration, I suppose, of the successful Channel Swim. But it's really, for me, what happened afterwards was just as interesting. So he became very popular, very famous, and he tried to capitalize on that fame to publicize swimming and to try and make some money. And he was a sailor before his Channel Swim. After that, he thought, I'll try and make some money from this. But trying to get people to come and see long distance swimming races, they're not as interesting to watch in person as the fact of this guy swam the channel is. Everything he tried to do, I wasn't really as successful as the actual Channel Swim, and it was kind of diminishing returns. And so in the end, he actually died trying to swim the whirlpool in the rapids at Niagara Falls.
Oh, my goodness.
That was his last stunt, which it's difficult to know whether he really thought he was going to be able to do it, or whether he was just desperate, or whether he didn't care. But I think it's a great early cautionary tale on the perils of fame, actually.
Yeah.
I was going to say that he goes into this crazy haze of wanting more and then ends up doing something that is actually really dangerous.
Yeah,
it ends up costing his life. So that is reflected on the play as well.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely fascinating. You've got me hooked already. So could you tell us all about how the rehearsals have been going?
It's been amazing, really. We did the first read-through in February 2020 in my house, before everything went crazy. And then when the pandemic started, obviously we had to stop meeting up. So we started doing Zoom rehearsals that were more about the script and talking about the script and talking about the character build up and stuff like that. And then because the play was due to be done in July last year, so we were postponed for exactly 1 year. And then as the pandemic gave us a chance, we started meeting up in my garden mainly and doing rehearsals outdoors. And then now, last Sunday, we did the first rehearsal in the actual theatre, which was amazing, in the Corpus Playroom. And Chris has been amazing because he's a very versatile actor. He wrote the play, so obviously for him, learning the script was not difficult because he wrote it, even though it's incredibly long.
It was quite difficult still.
You're looking a bit cross there.
You know it so well, Chris. Come on. I mean, it's amazing how he learned all that. I mean, it's incredible. And also, he has responded very well to my advice in terms of the physical stuff, because he kind of swims standing up and stuff like that. So it's been a challenge, but it's been really interesting.
It does sound brilliant. So tell me, when is it on exactly, and where do people get information about tickets?
It's on from the 27th to the 31st of July at the Corpus Playroom in Cambridge, starting at 7:45 each night. And you can get tickets from the ADC Theatre website. They manage the Corpus Playroom as well. And the website is adctheatre.com. I should just say that tickets at the moment are being sold at a reduced capacity to allow for social distancing in the audience. As we've just heard, the restrictions are going to ease. So some more tickets should be released, I think, in about a week or so's time, certainly before the week of the show. But I think there is still going to be some level of social distancing. I don't think it's going to be a full capacity in the theatre every night. I think we're planning on keeping at least one performance that's the current reduced capacity, which is about 20 seats, because the full capacity is 80.
Oh, if people go into the website now, they might find that some performances are saying sold out, but it's actually, there will be more tickets released for those. It's because we sold all the socially distanced tickets that we could sell.
Yes, of course.
So yeah. Now, you know, I would encourage those people to log in again and try to get, because in a week or so, we will have more tickets available for the performances.
That sounds really great. Well, good luck with it, and break a leg, I should say.
Thank you so much, Alex. Thank you for having us.
Cambridge 105 Radio.